Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show with its own postal service. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
I should probably turn up my mic so I can do it now. Transformers, we're reviewing Transformers. Thank you, good night.
And now, here are your hosts, Jarrett, Adam, and Shane.
There we go.
Alrighty, we are here for a special edition of The Scope.
Special edition.
Takes place between episodes 75 and 76.
I'm calling it 75.5.
Yes, it is our, as promised, our special review of the second Transformers film, Transformers... Is it two, Revenge of the Fallen?
It's just Transformers rolling on the floor laughing. I mean, Revenge of the Fallen.
Okay, so let's break down our guests right now. Jarrett is taking care of all the technical stuff, as he often does. Adam is not here. What a shocker. We don't know where he is at. Probably assaulting some hillbilly in the hills of Kentucky.
Shane, you know that every Saturday night, it's all about hookers.
It is with him. But to take Adam's place, we have three special guests. Let's go around the room. We'll start with the guy who was here in the last show.
Hell yeah, my family's playing Rock Band. Awesome.
Nathan is here.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, Nathan, talk to that mic clearly and don't let that tongue piercing get in the way of clear speaking.
Hello, ladies.
Sitting directly
How you doing?
Next to Nathan.
You don't even let him talk.
Fuck you, Shane.
Turn his mic off. Sitting directly next to Nathan, we've got a fan favorite, Earl.
Hi, Earl.
Hey, everybody. How's it going out there?
Fresh off of his job.
Where he has to serve up Transformers nightly.
He's serving up Transformers. And then, because we love technology, coming across the pond, it's Luke Ski. Luke Ski, can you hear us?
Thank you very much. I have to say, Earl is my favorite. He's my fan favorite.
Oh, thank you. You're my favorite, too.
Will there be any slash fiction coming from you about Earl?
Now that you put the idea in my head, of course there will be.
That's what I do.
That's fine. That's I'm ready. I got my dish and it's ready to go.
And if you guys can hear, it sounds like we're at a rock concert because we are broadcasting live from...
Metallica.
From Jared's girlfriend's birthday party. I don't know if I'm allowed to say her name.
It's Angie. We're talking about
it. It's Angie. Yeah. And we've got video games busting around. We've got stuff happening on both floors of the house. It is bedlam. It's excitement.
Shane,
there are naked women everywhere.
Standard Scope listeners are not... They know the deal. They know that we throw the rock band parties and we throw down. And there's alcohol and partying, and it's a good time.
Let me ask you, Jared, are you drunk right now?
No, not really.
Earl,
I may be
drunk.
a little bit tipsy.
I just got here, man.
And Nathan, you've drinking like a man out of a Bailey's bottle. Tell me, are you drunk?
Oh, yeah.
I doubt it.
I think Mike is winning the drunken.
Yeah, he left. The drunkest person left.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Left at 11:30 like a big old pussy.
I never got a chance to fight him.
Luke Ski, I know that you love to drink. What's in your cup tonight?
I'm actually having a Smirnoff Ice right now.
Well, nice. A little gin and juice.
Did the store run out of Zimas, Luke?
Well, that's what happens when I send my girlfriend in to buy the alcohol.
Wow.
I'm enjoying my OK soda.
It's OK soda. So, you know, we love to talk about ourselves. There's no question about that. But I think we love even more to talk about the Transformers in all their incarnations.
Exactly.
And we promised our listeners we would give the movie a full review, and that's what we're going to do right now. Transformers... Revenge of the Fallen.
Where's the smart-ass intro to this set?
There isn't it.
No, this is
all off the cuff. Earl, I spent my day cleaning the house. I didn't have time to put together. I didn't have time to put together audio assets.
Earl is going
to
do a dramatic reenactment after I give a synopsis of the film from my head.
It
stars the typical cast. You've got Shia LaBeouf, Megan Fox, John Turturro, the guy from Vegas show.
Tyrese Gibson.
No, he's not in there. That's
who's
not
that?
Him.
Who's
yeah, he was.
I thought that was
yeah.
a substitute
no,
black
Tyrese.
Guy.
That was him.
Substitute black
and,
guy. Okay.
Kerry, what's the name of the guy from that Las Vegas show that's in there from North Dakota?
Josh Duhamel.
Josh Duhamel is
that's
the other
it.
Guy.
So
he's got extra letters in
the
there.
The whole
there's like an H and a U and a
the whole cast
Q.
is back, Jared.
That's great to know.
The big exception this time is they actually brought Frank Welker back.
Did they? Yes. What did he do?
He did Soundwave.
Ah.
That's why, if you notice, Soundwave sounded just like Dr. Claw.
He did. So,
yes. And to be honest,
I had that
was the only part of the movie I was
I'll
okay with.
I'll get you, Gadget, next time, Gadget.
was the
how you gotta go gadget.
So it's 2 years later. The Transformers have, or the Autobots have, effectively destroyed all of the Decepticons.
No, they're still hunting.
Or they're hunting.
They're hunting down and murdering
they're
Decepticons.
They're hunting down and murdering Decepticons. They've teamed up with the humans to form a secret covert.
Because apparently nobody saw covert ops group.
So secret that when they level a city, it doesn't. That nobody knows.
The group
called the Nest.
Called the Nest.
It helps if we all talk over each other.
Yes, let me talk. Let me do the synopsis here, Earl.
Go.
So they've teamed up. They have teamed up with
Angina?
The humans.
Yeah, Angina. It's very... Anyway, Shane, go ahead.
They've teamed up with the humans to destroy all of the renegade Decepticons hiding about the planet.
Yes.
And guess what? The Decepticons are only biding their time. They are gathering strength.
Yeah.
And they are looking for... I don't even know what they're looking for. I don't know what they know. They're looking
the
for...
Shard.
They're looking for this ultimate knowledge because...
No, the shard the of the Allspark.
The shard of the Allspark, or part of the Allspark, because there's a secret energy source on the Earth. And this shard will give them that energy. And then they can revive an even tougher Decepticon who
he's already revived.
Or superpower him, supercharge him.
The Fallen.
To destroy the world.
So they're going to shove energy up his ass and get him going.
Yes. And,
right.
And from there, guess what? The politicians get in the way. They meddle with...
Freaking bureaucrats.
The bureaucrats screw it all up, and they want to send the Autobots home.
Fucking liberals.
And then guess what happened?
the president appointed him.
Guess what happens?
What happened?
They all screw up. The Decepticons gain power, and then hell breaks loose.
Oh, my.
You know, and I talk about this like... There's mostly Autobots and Decepticons in the movie. I've totally forgotten.
Yeah, that's like 5 minutes of the film. Yeah. What about the other 3 hours?
I've forgotten about all the human stuff. So,
that's right.
So what's his name? Sam. Sam is back with Megan Fox and all sorts of stuff.
Don't forget his wacky kick-ass roommate.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez, quarterback of the New York Jets.
Okay, so we don't have a clip, but Earl, you are going to reenact a clip for us. What is the scene you're going to be reacting?
I don't know. What's a good scene to reenact? I will reenact the scene
with the twins.
Yes, the two twin Autobots.
Scene with the twins.
Sorry, Luke, we'll get to you eventually.
And they go, I'm going to pop a cap and dry. You're going to put that. I'm going to punch you. Okay, look out. I'm an ice cream truck. I got shit on my head.
It's an asshole, but he's supposed to hurt.
I can't read.
That's good.
Look at my gold tooth. And then there's the other in classic Oscar winning. I'm sure this is going to be up in the Oscars where Shia LaBeouf's mom gets high on marijuana and runs around going, look at me. I'm high on pot.
I'm going to do you right here in the quad.
And it's just like, okay.
Well, we can see where this review is going.
Oh, don't forget John Turturro. This is not a secret. Don't tell my mother.
Earl.
Yeah.
John Turturro thong.
What?
Have you not seen John Turturro's thong?
You are a thong in this movie.
Oh, my God.
You missed that part.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Anyway, we digress.
In the least of ways.
So, Scope listeners, you heard our clip. It's a great clip.
I did the best I could. I apologize.
It's a great clip.
And,
enough explosions.
We're all going to be quiet. And we're going to start with Luke Ski. Where are you broadcasting from anyway, Luke? What state are you in?
From Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Kenosha. So you're really right across the border.
Not really. Yep. Across the border and all the way to the eastern part of the state.
Luke, are we going to see you next weekend, by the way?
Yes, definitely, of course. I got to be there for the awesome Rock and Possible Oscar show that's happening Friday night at 10 p.m.
That's right. 10 p.m. Central Convention, July 3rd.
Always plugging. We love you. So, Luke Ski, tell us, you saw the movie probably before anyone, and I know you I know you have opinions, and let's hear some right now. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I saw this movie... the midnight showing in the Gurney Mills Mall Theater where I saw Dark Knight. And when I saw Dark Knight, there was a decent mix of, like, you know, kind of the regular people, and there were some hardcore fans there dressed as Joker and, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, all right, so this seems like a good place to go. And they have, you know, high-tech, you know, projectors, and it's all good.
From the future.
But this time when I went in there, it seemed to be like a completely mundane crowd of, like, you know, white middle America, you know, the target demographic for this movie. I didn't sense any geek brethren.
I got to add to this because it's kind of important. Working in a theater, I will admit, we a lower clientele of people have come to our theater, and middle America is being nice. The people that have come in, I found chunks of wigs in the theater.
Chunks of wigs?
Chunks of wigs.
What?
So Luke is absolutely correct in the statement that the gutter of America is showing up, the 0 to 1%. Crowd.
0 to 1.
Yeah.
Wow. But
yeah,
what do you mean by that exactly?
I'm just cool to hear that get mentioned. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Luke. I was just like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So basically, it's like, you know, I'm surrounded by all these people, and they completely loved this movie. And it's kind of like that whole almost being peer pressured into drinking the Kool-Aid in Jonestown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the fact that they were so energetic and excited for this movie, I think, bled onto me a little bit, you know, because I know I left the theater generally feeling positive about the film, you know, as opposed to the first one, which, you know. Anyway, so yeah, it's like I think the overall point is that I think this one
get
was
to the point,
better.
Luke, come on, Luke, come on,
get there.
Really have so much time.
I'm just screaming, Luke. That's all.
Yeah.
So did you like it, Luke? Let's cut right to the heart of it. Did you like the movie?
If I had to choose between thumbs up and thumbs down, I'd have to give it a thumbs up. You know, overall, I liked it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was better than the first one. I have other things I could mention, but I'm not sure what the structure of this is, so I don't want to like jump to topics that we're going to cover later or something.
Well,
so,
Luke, place.
I want to know, how does it feel to be a minority?
are you oppressed?
How do you know Luke is black?
Do you feel oppressed? Do you feel like you could relate to the people that follow Martin Luther King, per se?
You know? Wow, this is getting very deep.
So you're saying you're the Middle America Monday Lord.
Shane, do we want to get into why Luke likes the film now, or do we
want
to...
No, Luke, I want you to tell me, in the most succinct way possible, three things that you thought this movie did successfully.
Okay. There were less humans and there were more robots.
Number one.
Number one. Ding.
Okay.
Number two.
Number two.
You're on an interactive show. Here,
you say Starscream, sir?
Look at the big shoes.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's like when Starscream showed up and started talking and acting like Starscream is supposed to, I'm like, where the fuck were you in the last movie, dude?
Luke, I'm going
to
give you credit for that one. I thought that was pretty cool.
I thought he sounded like a Spanish explorer.
That is a fantastic number two right there.
Good number two. And what about number three, Luke?
It's a big steamy number two. No, I was a good number two. I'm gonna give you props on that one.
I wish I could have a number three like that.
Number three, Lukester.
Let's see.
Number three, would that be a vomit? What is that?
I feel that the way that, you know,
Cleveland
this harkens back to the review you guys did 2 years ago. I felt that a lot of the shots were pulled back away farther so you could actually see the fight scenes and see the transformations. It was a lot easier to watch.
I agree with that, Luke. I think that's a fair statement. Although I think they could have done it more. Okay, Luke?
I think the robots should have actually like been characters in the movie.
Luke, we're going to go over to Earl, your arch nemesis, and Earl's going to tell us his opinion. He's seen parts of the movie 87 times because he's rolled it on screen.
I'm waxing my curly mustache right now.
Earl, give me your quick summary of this movie.
Earl, are you tying a fair maiden to the train tracks?
Once this is done.
Yes.
Because I got to do this here first.
Okay.
Because train don't hit till 12:30, so I got time. I think it was a complete mess. I will say it worked better than the first one, but that's like saying, man, I got diarrhea tonight, but that's better than the exploding watery diarrhea I had the previous night.
Wow.
That's what I got to say about diarrhea. The only thing I got to say,
I'm posing for photos right now.
I fully
on.
Admit, this is just to show how awesome I am, because everybody thinks I'm going to hate it just to hate it. No, I did like the first 10 minutes of this film.
I like how Earl's using the paper towel roll as an armrest.
Yes.
It's fucking comfortable. I ain't done with it yet, mister. But I think it was the first 10 minutes actually fooled me into thinking, wait a minute, they're actually going to make it about the robots. And then it's like, nope, here's Shia LaBeouf, and there's a penis-shooting robot, and a farting robot. And yeah. But the thing that aggravated me the most of this film is disappearing and reappearing characters. Like the scene with Starscream shooting at the Negro bots and Bumblebee. Not my term. I picked it up off the internet. And he's shooting at them.
You may want to drop that one for the future. I'm just saying.
All right.
Anyway, go ahead.
You know what? But you don't know what I'm talking about.
Though. I know what you're talking about.
Because I said it.
That's horrible, Bill. You're going to hell.
What?
I don't even believe
in
it.
For using the English language, I'm going to hell. Anyways,
they're
going
to create a hell for you to go to. That's
they already did that. I got my invitation.
Where are all the white fembots at?
Yeah. Anyway, Starscream transforms. He's shooting missiles at him. Then they park the car and get out, and Starscream back in the air. And I'm like, what happened?
So three things the movie did unsuccessfully. Since you're giving a negative review.
Be a Transformers movie.
Number two.
Earl, Transformers isn't the title. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but it's not about Transformers. It's about Shia LaBeouf giving up being with giant robots and hot chicks so he can go to college and hang out with that dillweed.
Yep.
But
is that number two?
That's not true either. No, one, not be a Transformer. Two, have a plot.
And number three?
That didn't do successfully?
Yeah.
Entertain me.
I say what I like about Luke is he picks very specific things. Earl goes very general.
Bora hasn't seen the whole film, so
I haven't seen John Turturro in a thong, so he clearly cannot comment.
So Earl, you know, people,
you know, when you're getting someone to reenact scenes from the movie, it's best to pick the person who hasn't actually seen it.
I've seen like
Earl's. The thing is, Earl's willing to go to those dark places where Shane and I are not.
Exactly.
No, I've seen like 90% of the film. I love it together, but the only thing I haven't seen, and I guess I asked somebody, I said, did they ever do something about Soundwave? Mm-hmm. And it sounds like they don't. They just leave him up in space, taking over the satellite.
They don't know about Soundwave.
Luke, you have notes?
Yes.
Very professional,
why aren't
Luke?
You podcasting?
Well, people really like it when Earl talks, but I think people love it more when we show diversity with our guests.
Diversity,
so I'm going to throw this over to Nathan. Nathan.
The Jew
of the group, our surrogate Jew for Adam. Nathan, tell us about your experience with the movie, and then we'll get to that list of three things after you're done.
Fantastic. I thought that movie was the biggest, shiniest piece of crap I've ever seen. I did like the first movie, and I think I'm probably a minority here, and I'm okay with that. Because power to the peepholes.
What about the peepholes?
I love them. I need to take another swig. Hold on a second. Fill me in, Shane.
Here we go.
Nathan is drinking straight from a bottle of Bailey's Irish Cream.
Nathan, just asked Shane to fill
I might fill it up with the baby formula next. You know,
yeah. Give me some Similac.
I'd like to get some sad.
Come on, Nathan.
It was filled with two-bit characters, useless characters.
Like Shia LaBeouf.
And moments that weren't even resolved. Devastator, he had
Exploding vagina face, that's what I call it.
Monkey vagina faces, monkey. I think it was what you said earlier. He had a fight with some Transformers, and it didn't actually end. They cut to another fight, and when they come back, he's walking away. And the good guys are breathing heavy, but you don't know how it exactly ended. And it was stuff like that, and the horrible jokes and one-liners they try to intersperse throughout the movie that just made me shake my head throughout the whole thing. I was horribly, horribly disappointed. That movie could have been an hour and a half. They really only needed to do...
You need 80 minutes to be considered a feature, Nathan.
Yeah.
Consider that.
Okay. It only needed to be a reason for the Transformers to fight, some character development, another fight, and then be done. And that's really all that movie needed to be. They dragged it out so much longer with uselessness.
So three things that did unsuccessfully.
Plot.
Okay.
And specifically, they would bring things in, such as death of characters... And major moments that they made you think were important, such as Devastator tearing apart a pyramid, and then take that away from you when Devastator
like
was...
like a mean brother,
exactly.
Yeah,
it was like taking my lunch money. They defeated Devastator, and you're like, yay, Devastator's been defeated. They succeeded at something. But then moments later, you find out that he did actually succeed, and it was just a moment where it's like, click, done, Devastator succeeded.
Number two.
But the big problem is Devastator was killed in the first film.
That was Barricade.
No. There was
a tank
wasn't called
Barricade.
Devastator.
The tank
they
Devastator.
Said Devastator.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because they don't know what they're doing.
Beyond that, number two.
They made a new Devastator who was six times as big.
The comedy was absolute crap. Jesus. And I didn't think it was racist, but I thought it was... I thought it was horribly just bad. Poorly written comedy.
And number three?
Number three would be a poorly used Megan Fox.
Let me see that.
I thought she was well used in the first movie, not so much.
She should be
in the
more close to naked and more in it. Thank you.
Yeah, I could use more of that.
Jared, you are phoning it in on this show, but I'm going to bring you right back into it right now.
Phoning it in? What are you talking about?
You're taking some sort of glamour shot over there.
Not,
I don't know what's going
Andrew's
on.
Taking the photos.
Angie's over here distracting you. Jared, you saw the movie with me yesterday.
Yes.
We actually shared a bag of popcorn.
We did. It was lovely, Shane.
Did you touch hands?
We did touch hands. We tried very hard not to.
We did touch tongues.
Was there an awkward...
It could not be helped. Jared, I think I might know your opinion on this film, but I certainly want to hear it for
Shane,
our audience.
Was it the fact that I was actually making comments during the film? Yeah. Did that give it away?
Oh, God, you were doing that?
I was.
Jared, I learned Jared can be an expert eye roller, even in the dark. I can actually see the whites of his eyes just roll in the dark.
We had complaints from movie darks saying it's too shiny.
Too shiny.
I'm going to bring up... We're going to bring it back to actual content here, Shane.
Please.
If anyone who has listened in the past remembers, I actually was the one who was most in favor of the first film. I gave it a slightly above average rating. I thought it was interesting. There was big robots fighting and destruction, and I thought it was pretty cool. So this one...
Luke, you're missing out on ladies dancing. I'm just saying
nice.
That.
Oh, I know, I know.
So am I.
So keep talking.
I tweeted last night, I would really want to quote Jeff Goldblum right now, and my quote would have been, "Oh, that is one big pile of shit from Jurassic Park." It was not a good film by any stretch. I don't even know how to sum it up. It's like Michael Bay to the complete excess. He's cliched himself at this point. It's everything is either a joke or an explosion. And
I agree with you completely.
Yeah, it's just you can't. And there's way too much focusing on the humans. Now, anyone who's watched the cartoons in their various iterations knows that the robots are the primary function of the cartoon.
Yes, the humans. Well, there'll be a couple humans here and there.
Yeah,
but
and they get to do something that they, you know, like, can you go in that small hole for us?
Yeah,
we can't get that. We gotta suss out that rabbit.
We need to bring our own rumble. But you're gonna have to go in there.
They do quick explanations like these robots. They look like dinosaurs. Okay, Dinobot. Thank you, human. Let's go kick some ass.
Anyway, but the robots, they're supposed to be characters. They're supposed to be interacting with each other. They're supposed to be deciding their own fate. Mm-hmm. Instead, you've got them shackled to this human group, and essentially they have no control over their own destiny. The scene that sums it up, the film entirely, is the scene where the Autobots and whatever the group was called, I forget.
Nest.
They return to their base, and they have Optimus Prime's body. If you haven't seen the film, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil it. Optimus Prime dies. They drop his body to the ground.
Know.
They don't set it down gently in any sort of reverence or respect.
Yeah.
They drop it from about 20 feet up, and he crumbles to the ground.
Yep.
And during that entire scene, the humans are talking, and the robots, the Autobots, are literally in the background with nothing to contribute. And that's really, that just, to me, that just is like, that sums up the film.
And
the robots are background. It's all about the humans. And it's like, what's the fucking point?
And
I'm going to add to it right now. The end scene, there were a lot of robots fighting, but all they were doing is wandering aimlessly, shooting missiles. And once again, they go to the humans and say, we got to get to point A to point B. Let's dodge these robots.
Yeah.
And like one of the robots, I remember on the show, you'd see them developing strategies. Like, why don't you guys take this front? I'm going to go tackle this guy. You and Bumblebee go around the corner and unplug whatever the hell they're using against us.
Yo, Joe.
Yeah. Honestly, the film. I coined the phrase bureaucracy porn because that's what it felt like to me. It felt like, I mean, Michael Bay has
get your head in the game, Nathan.
He's got Air Force. He's got like special forces. He's got the freaking executive branch. He's got CIA, FBI. He's got every, I don't know. It just, there's like all these little branches of government, and it's like, why do we care about all these branches of government? It's really fucking boring.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, this has been raised in a lot of the reviews, but the film is, there's no ebb and flow. It's all, you're on a plateau the whole fucking time.
Balls to the wall.
And I was so numb by the middle of the film. We get to the second act, and
was a second act.
All hell's breaking loose, right?
Okay.
They're playing Still Alive. That's awesome. You get to the point where a fucking aircraft carrier gets destroyed. And you would think that would be like the coolest thing in the world to see. But I'm just sitting there numb because it's like everything has just been like in your face so much that this aircraft getting destroyed means nothing to me.
Yeah, because there's no reason for it to be destroyed other than...
I don't even care. It's just the fact
doesn't
that
matter.
Everything has been such in your face and just an explosion of sensory input.
You're saying you're
input.
Desensitized.
I just,
no reason
I,
to it.
I was expressionless the whole time. It's like I didn't care. And that's not even... Okay, yeah. So we're talking about that. And then the fact that the frickin' twins are racist as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was the other thing that bugged me.
Nathan comes after me about that little term I found, but he said, I wasn't racist.
I was offended.
Uh-oh, we've got a fight within a fight, Jared.
I'm sorry,
go
but dropping the N-word.
I didn't drop the N-word.
And just saying
I
it's racist.
Negro. There's a difference.
That's the fucking N-word, you douchebag.
What's the other one? What's the other one?
What other one? There is no other N-word.
Yes,
that is the N-word. Nathan.
Are you listening? Are you so drunk you can't hear?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, there is another word, but it's the
ninja.
Same fucking
that
word.
Word.
Ninja.
That is the word.
Ninja. Ninja.
Thank you.
Ninja!
But you gotta put a GG in there.
Watermelon.
Now, this is good. This is entertainement.
No,
right now.
Go after him for saying watermelon.
No, it's a daily, okay, it's there, a Daily Show there, reference.
Do you want to drop the other one and we'll just get it out of the way?
No, I ain't doing that.
No, go ahead. That's a bad Shane, one. You know, you've already broken the water.
We've got the angry fight.
Shane, I really want to know what you have to say about
Nathan,
the
Nathan, your thoughts on
it? I want to hear what these two ham and eggers have to say.
What I think about the First Amendment.
We got to wrap this up at some point.
I think that, you know, causing riots in the streets is not appropriate.
White people do not get to use that word.
Give them a 10-second countdown and you're done.
You do not get to say kike to me.
To okay,
I'm just saying.
10 seconds. All right, I'm done. You can use it all.
The guy from 24.
We're cool.
You can use it all.
We're cool. Hey, Luke.
Okay, so it's my turn to talk. You two, shut your mouths.
Go.
I agree with
go fuck yourself.
almost everything that Jared had to say. Michael Bay has pretty much taken every cinematic device that he's used over the years, and he put it in this film, and he did it over and over and over again. We've got the camera angles that spin around people close. We've got the camera angles that spin around people from far away. We've got the slow mo
things on a precipice.
We've got the slow motion camera shots of people looking up in the air and things flying over them or to the side of them.
Megan Fox's breasts in slow motion.
Megan Fox looking down at Sam Witwicky with airplanes flying over the top of him.
Don't forget the rip off of Steven Spielberg movie scenes like E.T. and Gremlins.
Yeah. Or Michael Bay ripping off Titanic
and,
via Pearl Harbor.
From Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the same stuff. Which, here's my overall critique of this film, everyone. Michael Bay heard all of the criticisms that came from Transformers, whether it be, you know, kind of jazz being racist, What else do we have? Humans and less robots.
Yeah.
The comedy, the incomprehensible plot, and then he said, "You know what? Screw you! I'm going to do exactly that stuff that you don't like, and I'm going to do it twice as bad."
He said, "Fuck you! I'm making bank."
And you know what? He did, and it's paying off for him. It obviously.
I think it's
going to
die quick.
People are going to see it, and that's what really bums me out. I was hoping that he could go
Shane,
in.
We had applause at our showing.
We did. Yeah,
there was a couple of people.
May I interject here
too?
Briefly?
Please go. No, Luke, I'm going to talk here, and then you just roll in right after. So
Luke, you shut the fuck up.
So that
what? That's not nice.
So I like you though.
That's
you're pretty.
My thing with it. This movie. I mean,
love your locks.
There's a few certain things that could have been done to make this movie better, just in terms of the visuals. You make the robots look more like robots rather than these weird metallic parts. They all look the same.
I can't tell.
All the bad guys look the same.
Yeah, they did.
Except
Starscream would look like a Dorito.
Yeah, but even Starscream looks...
Dorito. Cool Ranch?
Yep.
Tasty.
Here's a huge complaint. In the first movie, no one could touch Megatron. He was the toughest badass there was. In this one, he got his ass beat every single time. And the fact that they just threw in a super villain who's supposed to be tougher than Megatron.
And he's supposed to be leading him, and it's like, where the hell did he come from, and where was he in the first film?
But he can't lead until someone kills Primes. I mean, so there's just a lot of things
here.
Only
I gotta pee.
A Prime can kill a Fallen. We don't know why.
Jared is taking a pee break. So, my wife is snapping her fingers. Did you want in on this?
Hey, real quick, we got to discuss one of the more important...
Go ahead, Carrie.
Is there really that much to discuss about this movie? Isn't it just a piece of crap and then you're done?
It kind of is. Uh-oh, now we've got
three
ladies.
No, that'd be like the most awesome review of it. Now, wait, I got to talk about something mighty important that happened in that film.
Mighty important.
Okay, well, Luke disagreed with us, so that's one point of contention.
Luke, I got three ladies here that want to beat the crap out of you.
I'm sorry, Luke.
Next week.
If you liked it, I'm happy for you.
She can't hear you, by the way, Luke, but you can talk like she can.
Okay.
Oh, Carrie's
okay.
Carrie's got
I'll
the
talk like she can.
Go ahead, Luke.
Hi, Luke.
Hi.
She can hear you now.
Who's that?
This is Shane's wife.
Hi, Shane's wife.
Yeah, how are you?
Is your name Carrie?
Yes, it is.
Fantastic movies.
Yay, I can remember names.
Thanks. I didn't see the movie, but I've heard bad things.
Yes.
So I didn't really...
And they're all true.
I didn't think there was that much to discuss about it. I thought they would be done and like back to the party. But apparently there's a lot to discuss.
Well, I'm trying to get to one of the more important aspects.
And what's
the dream
that?
Sequence.
The dream sequence?
The dream sequence where Shia LaBeouf has a dream involving robots and go, you're kick-ass, you get to come back to life, and here's the Autobot matrix of leadership which destroys planets.
That's true. Got anything else to say?
Luke, what do you think of the dream sequence? Come on,
talk, I think it's all a part of the circle of life, Earl.
You're in the wrong movie, man.
What's going on? Nathan, you talk.
This is it. Carrie's out of here. Luke, thank you for humoring me with that. So,
okay.
So let's go around the room. Last comments before we give this thing a score. We give it a score. Will there be a third sequel or a second sequel, third movie? Will Michael Bay direct it? And will it be any different? We'll start with Nathan. Go ahead.
Yes, yes, no.
Earl.
I think the third one will involve Bumblebee not being able to transform, so he has a hologram of Dane Cook who will make jokes through the whole film.
And Jared, will there be a sequel?
Yes.
Will Michael Bay direct it?
Yes.
Will it be the same?
Yes.
No, it'll be worse.
How could it be worse?
No. It'll be worse. It can always get worse.
All right. And finally, Luke Ski, one last question for you. When was the last time you tried third input?
Unexpected question.
One more thing.
Uh-oh.
One more thing. Happy birthday, uh-oh. Angie.
Oh, here yes. we go. Get the drink.
Oh, now I got to down it all.
Luke Ski, we will see you next
week. Wait a minute. I think Luke should have a chance to defend all his points. Oh. And then
I thought you wanted an answer to that question.
Actually, there's one thing I I want to defend, and then you can all dismiss me.
Never.
Do you
never.
Want to defend?
You're entitled to your opinion. We have a differing one.
We needed all some right. balance here.
I think Transformers Revenge of the Fallen version of Wheelie is way better than the original Wheelie.
Oh, I'm getting what? In the car and I'm driving to Wisconsin to beat the living shit out of you.
Wow.
I can't that's one thing okay. we didn't talk about. I can't stand the small robots. I can't stand the robots that are start as ball bearings and they turn into other giant robots.
And the whole crap of I'm gonna clap your eyes out.
I love robots
like,
that start as balls.
Yeah, we didn't even get into the whole giving robots human characterizations that they should never have.
So fantastic. You're cool with a robot humping a human leg.
Ball bots.
See,
well, okay. First of all,
you're in a box.
I want an answer to that question.
No, let Luke talk.
Okay, and like I said, I prepared notes. So
about
ball bots.
Swing them at me, Chief.
Okay.
Wow. Earl is angry at everyone tonight.
First of all, I think Wheelie was the like one of the few Decepticons that actually fulfilled a mission as a robot in disguise by infiltrating more than one location as a remote control car. To accomplish something. Number two, people bitched
God,
that
your brother's
like
leaving.
Joe Pesci. You know, so did Rumble. Rumble was all like, yeah, first you crack the nail and you crack the nuts inside. Nobody calls Soundwave uncrasmatic. What was the difference between that and the way, you know, except for vulgarity?
You know what?
You know?
It so. Fit. It fit the movie. Michael Bay thought it was funny to hear the word bitch a bunch
of times. I'm going to go off on Luke's tangent. I'm going to say I liked Ravage quite a bit. I thought he was
yeah.
He was a nice update to the current Transformers world, but he still felt like Ravage. I mean, he had the cool-ass guns and stuff like that. Other than the weird pebble things that reformed into a 2D robot. I didn't like that, but Ravage himself was pretty damn cool.
Why didn't they, if the Decepticons can make human-looking robots, why don't they just make a whole bunch of them?
That was another one of my notes.
Yeah, you shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Earl and I can agree on things.
And by the way, Luke.
Wheelie is an Autobot.
He switched sides, Earl, at the end. Come on.
And yes. Here's the one.
After humping a leg.
Here's the one thing.
How about that, a character who can switch sides?
And then disappear.
Yes. I think there's a few jokes in
Let's
there.
Let's not forget Megatron is the first triple changer. Hello.
That's a good point.
Yay.
So, Jared, let's give this thing a score, and then let's get to some programming notes after.
Okay.
Uh-oh, Jared.
Play, not highlight.
Play. Here we go.
Score is... 1/2 star.
So 1/2.
Got a half a star.
Apparently,
what the hell
they're ignoring everything you
Luke?
Said, Luke.
I mean, Shane, we're giving it a half star because of why?
Megan Fox.
No. Oh. Well, Megan Fox and... The tight shirt joke.
Oh, the tight shirt
joke
was good.
Oh, that was fantastic. Yeah, that was great.
The joke was good.
Yeah, I loved it.
But then the follow-up to that was not... They didn't have to have that for the comedy.
Really?
When he said, we couldn't find one tighter... No, they could have just left it at the one-liner, and then the guy could have stood there like a moron.
You know what? I didn't care. It was
okay, so we gave it 1/2 star. For people that love the scope... Jared?
We have people who love the scope?
We do have people who love the scope.
I'm going to go with your hypothetical.
Here's a programming note.
Yeah.
Next week is Convergence, and we're doing something very special.
It's actually only 4 days away, 3 days
four
away
days
from
away.
The time when this is released.
Is it like short bus special?
We're releasing this on Monday.
We are trying an extra special experiment we talked about in the last show. Every single part of that show is going to be phoned in via the voice line.
Yeah.
That's right. We're giving up. We're not even trying.
You're totally phoning it in, Shane.
Wow. I'm just getting taunted for that. So it's going to be a hodgepodge, a progression of drunken stupidness. It's going to be a progression of where we are at the convention. And we're opening...
Hold on. Andy's playing with herself.
And we're opening it up to all of our other listeners who are at Convergence or just want to call in. So this... During Convergence, Luke, if you want to jump on your cell phone, because I think you have one, You can dial our voicemail line.
If something cool happens, something you need to report on, something you just want to comment on, you have a thought, I don't know. We're encouraging our listeners to call the voicemail line and leave a message.
And we may do interviews as well. We may get Adam in on it, call him up, and get him on the voicemail. Who knows how we're going to do it?
We're calling all kinds of people.
It's going to be a good time.
Maybe I could call in from my concert at Harmonic Convergence at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday.
Why don't you do that, Luke? I think that would be good.
What was that now?
He's going to call in from state.
Oh, hell yeah. That's awesome.
Jared, you could do that, too.
I certainly could.
Do we need to do any updates on where people will be at Convergence?
We probably should.
What do you mean?
I'd like to plug that I will be at the Artist Alley at Convergence from 3 to 6 o'clock.
We'll be signing autographs.
I will be signing autographs. I'll be drawing pictures. Yes, sir.
Will you be turning tricks?
I will be turning tricks with the pencil.
When are we going to have this so-called draw-off between you and Luke Ski? Because I've been waiting for this for years.
It could happen at the Artist Alley.
Luke, are you
up? Are you going to be there?
Luke, are you up for a draw-off?
I am, but what day of the convention is Earl doing the 3 to 6 p.m.?
I'm on Friday, thank you very much.
You want him to finish his plug? What the fuck?
Thank you, Luke. Hey, Luke, aren't you going to be in Artist Alley as well?
Well, yes, I am, Earl of
the
Nick Adam.
When will that be, Luke Gusky of the Great Luke Ski?
Okay, so this is what the draw-off is going to be, Jared.
Oh, Shane, and then you got to let them finish their plugs.
Okay, finish your plug.
This is great radio drawing.
Do it. Come on, do it. Now,
I'm degaussing my monitor right now.
Sunday at 1:30 in Harmonic Convergence. Okay, go on.
All right, thank you, Luke.
What about Artist Alley?
He just
said that was the Great Luke Ski Sunday, 1:30 p.m. Harmonic Convergence.
Jared, where are you going to be?
I will be participating in the band Possible Oscar Friday night, July 3rd, 10 p.m. in Harmonic Convergence. It's part of a 3-band bill. You have, I believe, 7 p.m. Feng Shui Ninjas are playing, 8:30 p.m. Beth Kennerman, the player character, is 10 p.m. Possible Oscar. Try to see all 3 bands. If you do, there's a special surprise at the end.
I've been told that Nathan might be playing in your band as well. Is that true?
We're thinking about it.
Okay, good.
He's on a tryout basis.
If he is there, will there be bass humping?
I think that's up to Nathan. Honestly.
I sure hope so. So
let's just say it is permitted.
Luke Earl, the draw-off will be this.
Yes.
Whoever creates the best scope mascot wins. That's what you'll be drawing.
Oh, there we go.
Wait, let me quickly draw a picture of Earl, and I'll get right back to you.
Earl is a scope mascot.
I'm just going to draw a picture of myself.
If that's the direction you want to go, Luke, I encourage it. So
I would like to see Earl
naked.
I want to see Earl in a big plush Earl suit.
Earl in a plush Earl suit. I like it.
I'll do it.
Okay, he will do it.
Only if we can involve a stunt, though.
So, Luke, we will see you Thursday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Earl.
Yes, sir.
When are you showing up, Luke? Friday?
Actually, yeah, I'm showing up Friday evening. I got to get there in time for the show Friday night.
Right.
So, Luke, we will see you Friday. Earl, we will see you Thursday.
Yes, sir.
Nathan will see you probably Friday as well.
If they let me in.
If they let him in. Jared, I will see you Thursday. I think we might be rooming together. You never
know. I'll actually be there Thursday, too.
Right.
I'm coming after work.
All right. So, this is going to be a great show. So, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Transformers review. Make sure you call in for Convergence 2009.
It'll be flyers
for the scope. We'll see you next time, guys. Thanks, Luke.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
646-495-9201, extension 70055.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying,
ciao!
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.
Time for some shots, ladies and gentlemen. Check you later.